Parrot Base mission evolve until Parrot Base mission of tests. After having established which items one needs to announce if he finds them, namely anything which has a simon, and therefore the owner would not have given up hope, he wouldn't have had yish over that. So something like that you have to announce, but the mission asks, Vad Mosachav Lachris. Until when is he obligated to announce this item? Does he have to continue announcing this for the rest of his life, even if no one comes to claim it? Mission answers, Al Kadesh Yedbu Shchinov, he has to announce it enough so that his neighbors and the people of that area will find out about it. You can assume that it comes from someone who lives around there. So as soon as those people know about it, that's enough. Dibi Rav Meir, that's the opinion of Rav Meir, Rabbi Yehuda Omer. Rabbi Yehuda says it's not just that, because maybe it came from someone who doesn't live around there. Okay, but then how do we announce it to the whole world, to every Jew? The answer is, you go to the Beit HaMikdash, to Yerushalayim, where all the Jews came up for the Shalosh Regalim, for Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkos, and therefore you should announce it for the Shalosh Regalim, those three Yom Tovim, the Acher HaRegel HaAcharon, and then after the third Yom Tov, which you announce it there, Shiva Yomim, you should wait there another 7 days and announce it every day. Why for 7 days afterwards? So that someone who hears him announcing this can go home, he can spend 3 days going home, the Yachzor Shloisha, then spend another 3 days coming back to Yerushalayim, the Yachzor Yemechod, and if he realizes that he has indeed lost the item, then he'll announce for a day that he's lost it and look for that person who said that he found it, and then hopefully regain that item. Now, even though all the Jews went up for all of the three Yom Tovim, so really one would have been enough, some Jews couldn't actually make it for each Yom Tov, and only managed to come up once a year. And therefore, if you do it for all three, then certainly he'll come up for one of them, and thereby get his lost item. Mishnah Zayin, there's an argument in the Gemara as to how exactly one announces a lost item. According to one opinion, you just announce that I found something, and the other person has to say what you found, or what he lost, and a simon. According to the other opinion in the Gemara, the person who announces that he found something has to say what he found, and the person who lost it has to give a simon. And the halacha is like the second opinion, so we're going to learn the Mishnah like that second opinion. Omar HaSavido, if the person who claims that he lost the item, if he mentions the lost item, now this actually means that he mentions a simon of the item, but a weak simon, something which is quite common on different things, it's not a very strong simon, and he did not mention strong simonim on the thing. The halacha is, you should not give it to him, because it's not valid enough until he provides a good simon which is on the item. The horamai, but a fraud, someone who is known to be dishonest, and even if he does mention the good simonim of the item, you still shouldn't give it to him, because we still suspect him of lying, and therefore if he wants to get it back, he needs to bring witnesses to say that it's his. Shneir, as the pasuk says, adreish achicha iso. It says that you've got to take the item which you find, and keep it until the person comes to get it. Now obviously you keep it until he comes to get it, because otherwise you can't give it to him. So what's the pasuk trying to tell us? It means, atetidreish esochicha, until you seek out your brother, meaning until you find out about him, imramayhu imramay, find out whether he is a fraud or not, because if he is a fraud, then even with the simonim, you should not give it to him, because we still suspect him of lying. Okay, continues the Mishnah. In the previous Mishnah, we mentioned for how long someone has to spend trying to return a lost item. Now, what happens once this time is up? You can't keep it, because the owner probably has not given up hope yet. The Mishnah tells us, kol dovah she'eisa ve'oichel, anything which does work and eats, meaning the food that it needs to eat is compensated by the work which it does. For example, a working animal. It can do work for the person who found it, so it gains the owner, and the amount that the owner gains is at least as much as the animal needs to eat. So in that case, the person who found it won't lose out, so ya'asav ye'eichel should do the work and eat the food until finally the owner comes to collect it. Now, the Gemara explains, you don't have to do this forever. The Gemara explains for different types of things, different animals, for how long you need to take care of it. The Gemara goes through each animal, but be that as it may, once that time is up, you can then sell the animal and put the money to the side until hopefully the person comes to collect it. On the other hand, something which doesn't do work for you, it doesn't gain the person who's got it, but it still eats up things. For example, it could be an animal still, a non-working animal, so that will cost the person who's got it, and you won't be gaining. So in this case, Yemocher, he should sell it straight away. The Gemara again says, not exactly straight away, he should take care of it for a certain amount of days. The Gemara goes through how long for which animal, but once that time is up, you should sell it and put the money to the side until he comes. Why? Shenema, as the pasuk says, v'ashev esoy loy, and you should return the item to him, to the owner. Re'eh, that teaches us that you should see to it, heich toshivenu loy, how exactly you should return it to him, meaning when he comes and collects it, he might be, let's say, 3 years later, he comes to collect it, and if this animal has cost you a lot of money to feed, that's not your responsibility, and he'll give this massive bill to the owner of the animal and say, here, pay up, and obviously the owner will not want to do that, and therefore, for the owner's advantage, you should sell it straight away so that the owner only doesn't have to pay anything extra, he just gets the money without a huge bill of expenses. Now the Gemara asks a very important question. Sorry, the Mishnah asks a very important question. Mayehei badomim, what is the status and what can this person do with the money? Once he's sold the thing, he's now got money. Rabbi Tarfin says, he can use that money, he should just write down how much money he needs to give to the owner of that thing. But the actual money which he gets for selling it, he can use himself. Rabbi Tarfin views this person as a borrower, and a borrower can obviously use the money. Lichach, therefore, im Ovdu, if he loses the money, Chayv Be'achrayuson, he's obligated to replace them and to pay the owner if he comes. And even if he loses the money out of his control, there's nothing he could do about it. Since he has the status of a borrower is obligated to pay the owner of whatever he borrows if he loses that item, even if he loses it out of his control. But Rabbi Akiva says, no, Lo Yishtamesh Behen, he can't use this money, because Rabbi Akiva views him as a shomer, someone who watches over something but can't use it, and specifically a shomer socher, someone who's paid to look over that thing. Now you'll ask, hang on, what's he being paid? The answer is, because he's doing a mitzvah, there's a rule, ha'osei b'mitzvah, poter min ha'mitzvah. If you're doing one mitzvah, and if another mitzvah comes along, then you're exempt from that mitzvah. So you could save things. For example, if someone comes and asks him for tzedakah, since he's in the middle of doing this mitzvah, he might be exempt from doing that mitzvah, which would mean he would save money, and therefore it's considered like he's being paid to watch over this thing. And because of that, if the item gets lost or stolen, he would be obligated to replace it. However, lefichachim ovdu, if they get lost, and listen carefully, they get lost out of his control, he couldn't have done anything about it. In that case, in chayv acharus. He's not obligated to replace them, just like a shomer socher, someone who is paid to watch over things, is not chayev to replace it if it gets lost beyond his control. Okay, Mishnah Ches. The Mishnah continues the discussion about if you get something, if you find something on the street, how you have to take care of it until you finally get to return it to its original owner. Now, most things, if you just leave them to be, then they'll get moldy, they might get damaged even, and therefore, in order for you to take care of it properly, you can't just leave it. However, if you start using it a lot, then you'll decrease its value and perhaps even come to damage it yourself, and therefore, you have to get the right balance. So, Motz Sforim, if you find books or scrolls, in those days, everything was written on scrolls, which were rolled up, so if you just left it rolled up, then it would get moldy, so Kerbehen Achsashashim. You should read them once every 30 days. If you do it more than that, then you're using them too much. You don't actually need to do that to look after them. But if you do it less than that, then they might get moldy, and therefore you should open them up and read them. If you want to read them, at least you open them up once every 30 days. If you're in your dialect, if you don't know how to read them, then still, Golan should still roll them out so that they do not get moldy. But you cannot learn them. You can't read them at the beginning. Meaning, if you've never read it before, then you shouldn't read it now, because then you'll spend much longer with it open in a particular place, and that's more than it needs, and therefore you wouldn't be doing it to look after it. You're doing it for yourself, and you can't do that. If you find clothes, then you should shake them out once every 30 days. You should spread them out for its need, meaning to air out the clothes, you should spread it out, let's say on the floor or something. But again, you can't spread it out for your honor. Let's say if you've got nice guests coming, you want to impress them, so you spread these nice clothes on the floor. You cannot do that, because that's not doing it for the clothes' sake, rather you're doing it for your own sake, and that is usur. Silver or copper utensils, these were customarily kept in the ground, that would keep them shiny. But again, if you left them in the ground for too long without taking them out, they would blacken and maybe get a bit moldy, and therefore you should take them out as often as they need to be taken out in order to preserve them. But again, you can't use them to an extent that it will wear them out, because that is, again, damaging them, not for their own sake. Similarly, even if you don't use them very much, if you use them for the wrong sort of thing, for example, you put hot water into the silver, that causes them to blacken, and it ruins them, and therefore you would not be able to do that. What about gold or glass utensils? These things, even if you leave them for a very long time, they're not going to get moldy, they're not going to blacken, and therefore you should not touch them until Yohua Novi comes, which is an expression. It means unless you find the owner, you shouldn't use them for yourself at all, because that's not necessary in order to preserve them, and therefore you'd only be doing it for yourself, and you can't do that. Now, what happens if Motza Sak Okupa? You find a sack or a sort of big basket, and anything which is not normal for you to be carrying. Even if that was yours, you wouldn't carry it. For example, let's say you're a very important person, or you're an old person. If you own sack, you wouldn't carry that even yourself if it was yours, and therefore you're not obligated, if you find it on the street, you're not obligated to take it and look after it, and therefore be carrying it in the street for the sake of someone else, because you wouldn't even do that for your things. This is learned from the Pasuk, which talks about someone who finds something on the road, his alam tomehem, and you ignore it. It really should say, and if you ignore it, then what the Pasuk continues saying. But it says, and you will ignore it. And we learn from there, there are certain scenarios where you're actually allowed to ignore the thing which you find. For example, if it's not befitting for you, since you're an important person, then you are allowed to actually ignore it and not take it and look after it. Mishnah Tes, Ezo Yaveda, what is considered a lost item, so that if you find that, you now have to take that and deal with giving it back to the owner? So the mission tells us, for example, Motzel Chamer Porerim Aderech, if you find a donkey or a cow, for example, who are grazing on the road, even though they should really be grazing on the grass, it's not so unusual for an animal to go out of the field for a few moments onto the road or something, and therefore you can assume that the owner knows about it, and you don't need to go and take it and return it to the owner. In Zayabela, this is not considered a lost item. However, Chamer V'chilav Hafuchin, if you find a donkey with its utensils, meaning its saddle, for example, which are turned over, meaning they're not exactly where they should be, for example, the saddle's falling off, it's on its side or underneath the animal, or Porot V'nakromim, you find a cow which is running between the vineyards, it's an injured cow, the Gemara explains, and in these cases you've got to assume the owner does not know about this, especially in the cow case where it's running, you witness when it gets injured. And therefore, Hazi Avedo, this is considered a lost item, and you would need to take it and deal with it to return it to its original owner. What happens if Hechziro Uvorcha? You find something, you return it to the owner. Let's say it's an animal, it runs away from the owner. Hechziro Uvorcha, you return it to the owner again. And once again, it runs away, so you return it. Afiyar Bobach Mishpomi, you know, 4 or 5 times. It doesn't literally mean 4 or 5 times, it could be 100 times. So you might think that the owner is just ignoring the animal, he's ignoring his responsibility to guard the animal. And really, he should be stopping the animal running away so many times. Nevertheless, this is not halachs of damages. We have the Ember of a Kama, Chayv Lachziro, you're obligated to return to the owner. Shenema, as the Pasuk says, Hoshev Teshivim, you shall surely return the lost item. But the fact that it repeats the word Hoshev Teshivim then implies that you've got to do it even multiple times. Which now moves on to a worker. Let's say someone who's got a job, he's working for someone else in the middle of the day, and he sees something on the road which he would normally have to take and do Hashavas Aveda with. And let's say he does, he leaves work in order to return this to its owner. Hoyabotam a seller. He lost out from earning a seller. Meaning, let's say he earns a seller per hour, and it took him an hour to return the item. And he then comes to the owner of the item and says, I just returned your item. Let's say the item was worth 10 sela. He said, I returned something worth 10 sela, but it cost me 1 sela, so give me the money. Lo malo, he can't say that to him. 10 sela, give me the sela which I lost out for doing this. And the reason for this is because it's much easier to just take an item and return it to its owner than it is to do a hard job, perhaps. Elo noisel is choy kapel botel. Rather, he can demand that the owner does give him some money, and that is the wages of someone not doing work. This actually means the amount that he would pay his employer to take off work and to return this to the owner. Meaning, every now and then, he might want a break and doesn't want to do this hard work all day, so he'll say, you know what, I want to do easy work. So the amount that he would tell his employer that he is happy to earn, that lesser amount, so let's say he usually earns a seller, and he says, you know what, let me do this easier work now and pay me half a seller instead of a seller. So the difference between those two values, half a seller, that is how much he can demand from the owner. Now what happens if he doesn't want to do that? He's got this mitzvah in front of him to return the item, but he doesn't want to lose out on his wages. He doesn't want the lesser amount, so the Mishnah says, Im yesh on beis din, if there's a beis din, it doesn't literally mean a beis din, it just means three people. You get three people together, and you say, hey, you're my court. Maslam bifnei beis din, he can then make a condition in front of this so-called beis din, saying that I'm going to give this back to the owner, on condition that I will be able to take my full wages. And then you take it to the owner, and if the owner wants his item, he jolly well better pay this person, this worker, the amount that he would have earned. Im ein shon beis din, however, if there's not three people there who he can make a beis din, then it's tough luck for the worker, bifnei miyasneh, who can make the condition in front of? The answer is no one, sheloi kodem. His usual work comes first, meaning if you can't do this condition in front of a beis din, you're not obligated to go and give the item back to the owner and only receive a lesser wage or a lesser amount from the owner. Rather, you should do your work and ignore the item.